ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Tamid is dedicated anonymously in honor of Rabbi and Mrs. Yaakov Metz.
Meseches Tamid, Daf Lamid. The Mishnah speaks about the shechita of the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar, and the Mishnah says that Loi hoya shoychet ha-shoychet ad sheshemeya shar ha-godo sheniftach. So the Mishnah says that the shoychet, the one who was shechting the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar, would not shecht until he hears the shar godo, the great gate of the Beis HaMikdash, that it was opened. So you had to have the gate opened first, and only after that would you shecht the Tamid Shal Shachar. Tosfos in Masechta Zvachim uses this Mishnah to ask a kasha on the shita of Rashi. Rashi holds in Masechta Zvachim that this Chazal tells us, it's a Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara says that Shlomim Sheshochton Koidam Psichas Dalsas Heichol Psul. In other words, that the Gemara tells us as a Gzeres HaKosav about a Korban Shlomim, that it has to be shechted, like the language of the Torah, with Shchotay Pesach Oil Moed, which Chazal take to mean that the Korban Shlomim has to be shechted when the Pesach Oil Moed, when the gate of the Beis HaMikdash is Dafka open. The Gemara says, "Bivman shepsuchen v'lo bivman shehin neulin." Dafka when the gate of the Beis Hamikdash is open, not when the gate of the Beis Hamikdash is still locked. So, if you shecht the Korban Shlomim early before you open up the dalsa sahecho before the gate of the Beis Hamikdash is opened up, the Shlomim is puzzle. It's going to be puzzle because it does not fulfill the pasuk of Ushchot Pesach Oil Moed. Rashi in Masechta Zvachim says that this Gemara is applicable specifically to Shlomim, which is the case in the Gemara Shlomim Sheshochton, and the pasuk, of course, that's brought is a pasuk about the Shlomim Ushchot Pesach Oil Moed. Rashi says that we do not learn out from there to other korbanos. It's a din dafke in Shlomim and not in any other korban. We don't apply the din to any other korban. We don't learn out from there that other korbanos as well have to be shechted when the Pesach Oil Moed is opened, and the post is shot. It's a dafka, a din, and shlomim. Tosfos over there is masigon Rashi ba'arichus, and Tosfos says in Zvachim that that's going to be against our Mishnah. The Mishnah says over here that the shoychet of the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar, which was of course an oila, and the Tamid Shal Shachar has to be shechted only after you heard sheshemea shar gadol sheniftach, that he heard that the great gate of the Beis Hamikdash is open. So apparently, so Tosfos is a din in oilas as well, and in shar korbanos, apparently Tosfos says that we learn from the shlomim, which is the case in the pasuk and the case given in the Gemara, we learn that from the to other korbanos as well, that all of them have to be shechted after the psichas dalsas ahechol, when the gate is open, and that's the hezbir in our Mishnah that says Tosfos that you have to have the gate of the Beis Hamikdash open first prior to having shechted the oila of the Tamid Shal Shachar. Now, Bemis, what the Hilber is in Shitas Rashi is why Taka wouldn't I learn out from Shlomim to other Korbanos as well? What happened to Mamutzino? Learn it from Shlomim to other cases? That's the same question, of course, different from the one asked by Tosfos and our Mishnah. What would be the reason why you don't learn out from Shlomim to other Korbanos? And that grounded is in the Santa Rashi and Masechta Nozir on Daf Memhei. Rashi says in Nozir Memhei, the Rashi in Nozir goes the same way as the Rashi in Zvachim, that the din that if you shecht Shlomim without opening the entrance of the Heichol, it's possible that din Dafka and Shlomim, we do not learn it out to other Korbanos. And the Rashi in Nozim Hey says, Bishvil Shehein Doiroin. He actually gives the reason why this is the din that's unique to a Shlomim. Rashi says because they're a Doiroin, as a Doiroin, the Shlomim is a gift to the Eibishter. Other Korbanos, generally speaking, have cases of Choyva. A Shlomim is generally a Doiroin, a gift. And therefore, it's a gift that has to go through all the hoops and fit the exact specifications in order to be a proper gift and accepted as a gift. So you have to have the Pesach Ha'eichol open, and not when it's shot, and we do not learn that from there to other korbanos. That's what Rashi says in Nozir. Now, for Shteitzach, I just want to add that Rashi in Nozir is really a Yadua that is not written by Rashi. So it's not like the Rashi in Nozir could really reflect on the Rashi in Zvachim. It's two different people. Rashi in Nozir is generally known as the Mefarish, and this Rashi in Nozir, the Mefarish in Nozir, simply holds like Rashi. It's another reason it holds like Rashi, and his Shita, the Mefarish in Nozir, is that the reason is because it's a gift. Ekshagia, the question is on Rashi, a specific question from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that even by the Tamid Shal Shachar, which is an oila, he had to wait to shecht until the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are already open. So apparently it's not just in Shlomim, apparently we learn it from there to oila and other korbanos as well. It's brought down that the Brisker Rav was told a teretz by a Tamil Chacham, that this Tamil Chacham wanted to say that the din in our Mishnah is a din in the Tamid Shal Shachar specifically, and it really is not a broad-based din that's applicable in general to oilois and to shachar korbanos. The din of the Tamid Shal Shachar, because our Mishnah is giving you the seder of the avodas hatomid. It's giving you the sequence of the activities that are done in the morning. And there's all kinds of dinim, exactly what has kedima, what has ichor, what is done first, what's done later, what's done in the middle. And what our Mishnah is saying, this Talmud Chacham wanted to say to the Brisker Rav, is that the seder of the pu'ulois, of the activities that are done in the morning, the Beis HaMikdash, involved opening up the gate to the Beis HaMikdash first, and then after that, shechting the Talmud Shel Shachar. And this is the seder, the sequence of the morning events. And if it's not be a soydoy adin, like Tosis takes it to be, that the gates of the Beis HaMikdash have to be open. They have to be in an open position, a matzav of openness, pasuach, b'shas, when the oil is shechted. That's perhaps not so. It's simply a din that the seder of the pu'ulos in the Beis HaMikdash, the activities that were done, involved activity A, B, C, a seder one after the other. So you had activity of opening up the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, you had an activity of shechting Talmud Shel Shachar, and the opening of the doors comes before the Talmud Shel Shachar. One pu'ulo comes before the other. Not because the matzav, the position of the doors at the Beis HaMikdash have to be in an open position, b'shas when the oil is shechted. According to that, this Talmud Chacham wanted to say it wouldn't be a universal din of Kabbana Seruel. It's specifically a din of the morning activities and the pu'ulos that are done prior to the Talmud Shashachar. It's brought that the Brisker Rav agreed with this Talmud Chacham that there is the Hedbar in the Shitas Rashi, and he brought a raya to this concept from the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam, when he brings down the language of our Mishnah, changes the Lashon from the Mishnah, and the Rambam says that the Seder of Avodas HaTomid, etc., etc., they're only bringing down the sequence of the morning activities, and the Rambam brings down like this. He says, "V'shas psichas hashar," at the time when they're opening the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, shechten as HaTomid, they shechted Tomid. The Bitkur Rav said, you see from this Rambam a curious thing, that the Rambam understood that even though the Mishnah brings it down as a Seder of Pu'ulois, first this, then that, and a simple meaning of the Mishnah would be, I have to first open the door to the Beis HaMikdash, and then after they open, I do my second activity, which is the shechting of the Talmud Shel Shachar. In the language of the Rambam, though, it seems that there's no problem whatsoever in having two people do the two of them simultaneously. The Rambam says, "B'shas psichas hasher," at the time of the opening of the shar, "Sheichas haTomid," do the second pu'ula of shechting the Tomid. So apparently, said the Brisker Rav, the Rambam learned that the Mishnah is not dafka giving you the sequence, but he's telling you at least it has to be simultaneous. At a minimum, you have to have the doors being opened b'shas at the time, the same time while on shechting the Tomid. It's like the Brisker Rav, according to the Das HaToisis, that this Mishnah is a then in the position of the doors. They have to be in the open position. B'shas HaShchitas HaTomid, Tosfos would certainly not agree with the din the way the Rambam brings it down. He wouldn't agree that I could have the doors being opened while I'm doing the act of Shechting the Tomid. The doors have to already be open because they need to be already in the open position at the time of the HaShchitas HaTomid. The Rambam is actually before that that's really not even necessary. That's what the Rambam is saying. What you have to have is activity A, the Psichas HaShar, cannot come after activity B, which is the HaShchitas HaTomid. So you could have what the Mishnah says, that the Psichas HaShar activity A is before the Shchitas HaTomid. You have the Rambam brings it down, they could be done simultaneously, as long as the Shchitas HaTomid isn't done first. So he says, you see, Befeir, said the Brisker Rav, that the Rambam took this to be a sequence of activities, a Seder HaAsiyos, and not a din, the way Tosfos understands it, that this mission is part of a kind of broad-based universal halacha, that the doors of the Beit HaMikdash have to be always open by Shechten Oilo or the Shar Kabbonis. And that would be, said the Brisker Rav, a defense of Rashi, he could have learned the Rambam and Takad is really, as far as the halacha of the position of the doors, that they have to be open, b'shas the shchita of a korban, Rashi could hold the way Rashi holds, that that's a din specifically in the korban shlomim. Later on in the Mishnah, we have a discussion of the dishon of the menorah and the hatova of the neiros that was done in the morning. The dishon is the cleaning out of the ash from the lamps of the menorah, and hatova is the preparing it for the upcoming hadlaka that's going to be done, putting the oil in the wicks into the menorah. And it's a little bit complex and confusing, partly discussed over here in Perek Gimel and partly discussed later on in Perek Vav. At the moment, I'm going to go through the basic series of steps as this explained by the Bar Tanura, which is pretty much a mainstream position of the Meforshim, and a couple of points need to be made at the outset, and these are made by the Bar Tanura based upon various Gemoras. The Bar Tanura tells us, based on Panasugi and Masechet Menachos, that this Mishnah is going with the view that the Menorah was Mizrach u'Mayrav Havimunachas. In other words, there's a machlokes in the Gemara Masechet Menachos, whether the Menorah was positioned, the horizontal position of the Menorah, the length of the Neiros, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. So one man Dama says it was positioned Mizrach u'Mayrav, running from east to west. Another mandama says that it was positioned south of the Dorim. Now our Mishnah, as the Bar Tanur explained, the Meforshim explained, is going like the mandama of the Gemara that Mizruch Umayr of Hoyah Meneris Menachin. And if you hold like that mandama that Mizruch Umayr of Hoyah Meneris Menachin, then it's mavur in Rashi, and in the way most Meforshim learn up the Gemara in Masechta Menachos, it's mavur that the Nir Ma'arovi, which is a special Nir that we're going to be discussing, has a special quality. It's the Nir Tomid, as described by the Pasuk, Lahal is Nir Tomid, as we'll see. So that Nir Ma'arovi, according to this mandama, Mizruch Umayr of Hoyah Menachin, the way Rashi and most Meforshim learn, that's the second Nir from the east. In other words, he really could certainly have assumed the Pashtus that the Nir Ma'arovi is the furthest one over to the west, the far west Nir. And in fact, as we'll see later, that is Taka the Shittas HaRambam. However, the way Rashi and most Meforshim learn in the Gemara, then it's really called the Nir Ma'arovi, but the reason it's called the Nir Ma'arovi is because of the very first one that it could have a Shem Ma'ariv. In other words, the one that's immediately on the east when you walk in and meet the very first one, the easternmost one, that can't be called Nir Ma'arovi, it's the easternmost one. The next one just past it, the second from the east, that's the one that's called the Nir Ma'arovi. It's the first one as you walk in that's able to be referable to be called the Shem of Ma'arovi, because it's the first one that has some easternmost Nir compared to it. And there's a second from the east, and that's called the Nir Ma'arovi. Now, that's one thing that we need to establish at the get-go, and that's according to the Manda Omer that the Nir is on Mizruch Umayr of HaMenachin, as we said. So then the second Nir from the east, the second Nir moving toward the west, is the one that's called the Nir Ma'arovi. The second Akuda that the Bar Tanur brings down, based upon a sugya in Masechta Yuma, is that when they would clean out the Niris and prepare the Niris of the Menorah, when they were made to the Niris, they had a din that they would do it in two shots, in other words, in two different steps. They would not clean all the Menorahs as once. And this is, the Gemara brings a drasha, and it's brought into the Bar Tanur here and other Meforshim, that it says in the Pasuk, Baboiker, Baboiker, Behetivoi Asaneirois. So that's Hetivoi Asaneirois, the preparation of the Neiris. And the Pasuk uses a double Loshon, Baboiker, Baboiker. So we learn that from there that you're supposed to Mechalik, Lashnei Bekorim. In other words, you're supposed to split the Hetivoi Asaneirois, the preparation of the Neiris, into two shots. And we split it into two segments. Now, what are these two segments? So again, according to the Poshet Pshat, the way the Bar Tanura and the standard Pshat and the Meforshim, the segments are 5 and 2, which is to say, in other words, you have to have, as explained by the Gemara, you have to have at least two Neiris in each segment, because it says it's a Neirois, Beitiva es a Neirois. So each segment has to have at least two Neirois, and I split it into 5 and 2. In other words, first I clean out 5, and then I come back and clean the remaining 2. How do you decide which 5 and which 2? So again, according to the simple pshat as explained by the Bar Tanura, the way that I'm going to decide it is like this. It's Hetham Aforshim Lerm Pshat. The way I decide it is that I take the very first 2, the easternmost one, or the one immediately past it, that's one segment, and that's that's 2, and then I have the 5 that are beyond it, the 5 westernmost Neiris of the Menorah, and those are the 5. The 5 are cleaned earlier, before the 2, and this is explained rather by the Meforshim. The Ravid brings down a Hezber. The reason why we clean the 5 before the 2 is because we're actually hoping that when I come in, that the second from the easternmost will be lit, because that's the Nir Ma'arovi. The Nir Ma'arovi v'shas when the Yidden wandered out, the Richtige Madrega, the Gemara tells them a Sechta Yuma, until the death of Shimba and Tzaddik, it was always like that. Every single year, the Yidden went Ohai Madrega, every day and every year, the Yidden went Ohai Madrega, and the Nir Ma'arovi was always still lit in the morning, because it's a Nir Tomid, and then the Alpiyad Neis, it remained lit, it didn't go out, even though only enough Shemin was put in there for the evening, till the morning, Havel became the Derech Neis, it remained lit. Now after the death of Shimba and Tzaddik, it didn't always stay lit, as we'll talk about a little bit later, but hopefully. But upon him, the hope was that the Nir Ma'arovi would still be lit. So Meila, the Seder of cleaning out the Neiris in the morning was that you bypass the first segment, which is contained in the first two Neiris and contained the Nir Ma'arovi, which we're hoping is still actually burning. You go past that, you clean the remaining 5. Then you do some avoided, as a Shaila Mechalikis in the Gemara in Yuma, which avoided was done. But upon him, you do some avoided to differentiate, to separate between the two processes of Atava, and then you go back and do the second process of Atava, which involves cleaning out the two easternmost Neiros. And that's your Baboike, Baboike, Bezirus, and Neiros, divide the Neiros into two segments. This is the Pashtus of the Sugya, as we'll see, not everybody learns this way, but that's the Pashtus Advorim of what comes out of this mission, as explained by the Bar Tanura, according to the normative Pshat of the Meforshim. One more point before we go on. The Mishnah says also that if the Kohen would come in the morning and he would see that the The two Neiris on the east are both out. If they were both in the Neimarovi did not remain lit, because they didn't want not on the high Madrega to be Zaycha to a Neis, and the Neimarovi had gone out. So then, before going on, the Kohen would actually relight them from whatever other Neiris remained lit in the rest of the Menorah. He would relight, actually, both of the easternmost and the second from the east. But Etzem, as the Mephoshim explained, the real halacha that you have to really relight would be the second from the east, because that is the din of Neir Tomid, that's the Neimarovi. Neimarovi has din to be Tomid. We'll explore this din of Hashem coming up. In other words, if the Neis would come, the Neis would take place, then they didn't have to do any special activity to make it Tomid, because it was automatically Tomid by virtue of the Neis. But if the Neis did not take place and they would relight it, we'll talk about that a little bit to Mitzvah Hashem. There's a mitzvah to relight in order to fulfill the din of Tomid. Mephoshim add an interesting thing, that even though L'choira, for that I would just have to relight the one immediately, the second from the east, because that's an Emaravi, but I also light the one, the easternmost one as well, and the reason why I light that one too, interestingly, is because I want to make sure that the Shem, the label of the appellation of the Neir Maravi, is able to be present on a constant basis on this second from the east Neir. You want to make sure that it's called the Neir Maravi. The Neir Maravi has to be Tomid. But how is it going to be a Neir Maravi if the one of the east of it is not even lit? So then it's not Neir Maravi. Neir Maravi relative to what? I mean, there's nothing, no lit Neir that's anywhere east of it. So why is it Meirav? Why is it west? So in order to make sure that the Neir Maravi retains this label of the Neir Maravi, the western Neir, on an ongoing basis, Chazal said also they have to light the east Neir in order to ensure that the next Neir, the Neir Maravi, would have a Shem of a Neir Maravi, and that should be Tomid. Now, having said all those things, let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam in the Yad Chazaka, in the Yad, and the Rambam says that Neir Maravi Shekova, that if the Neir Maravi went out during the nighttime, Kohen comes in the morning and he sees that it's out, it had gone out. So, Ein Madlikin Oisoi, Achadishuna, you clean it out, and you don't relight it, Elo Mizbech Achitzoin. You have to be lit Dafka from the Mizbech Achitzoin, and you can't relight it from any of the other Neirs. You have to Dafka light it from the Now, this din of Mevech HaChitzayin actually is based on a Mishnah later on in the sixth Perek. I'm not going to go into it right now, but we'll hopefully try to get into it then, later. But I'll kopon him that the Rambam insists that if the Neir Maravi went out, the only way to relight, the relighting has to dafka take place from the Eish of the Alta Mizbech. The Ravid of it is massing on this Rambam, and he says against the Mishnah here. As we just mentioned the Mishnah actually speaks out that if you see that the two easternmost Neiris have gone out, including the second from the east, which is the Neir Maravi, says the Ravid, and they've both gone out during the night, so you have to relight it. And the Mishnah says explicitly that you relight it from any Neiris of the Menorah that are still lit, perhaps the Neiris that are still burning. You light them from the Neiris that are still lit, like the Mishnah says that. The Mishnah says later on in the sixth parak you lose the light from the Mevech HaChitzayin, so the Rav then a Chanami, but that's a backup plan if all the Neiris of the Menorah have gone out. Then I relight the Mevech HaChitzayin, but this Geventlich, the Mishnah is saying over here clearly that I relight from the existing Neiris, and how could the Rambam possibly say, Mamash against the Mishnah, Zok the Rav, that you always must relight the Neir Maravi Dafka from the Mevech HaChitzayin? And in fact, the Kesef Mishnah says that you have to Matak and the Rambam, he offers a Doichek Pshat, and he says that, you know, it comes out of the Kesef Mishnah that there's no real Meruv, like a smooth read of this mission that's going to fit according to the Das HaRambam. The Mikdash David writes about this Kesef Mishnah, says it's very, very straight. It says, Tmihani al Baal Kesef Mishnah, that says that you have to be Matzik in order to explain the Rambam. Yeah, the Kesef Mishnah did not realize, Zok, there, that the Rambam, in our his parish, HaMishnayos, in our Mishnah, very, very clearly and explicitly learns a somewhat different shadow in our Mishnah, according to which the entire Kasha doesn't even begin on him. Mamash is not even Shver Klalu Klal, in the Lashon Mishnah, on what the Rambam says in the Yad, that the name of Ravi is relit only Davke, Be'ech HaChitzayin, and the way Rambam himself, the Perish Mishnayos of the Mitzvah David read our Mishnah, it's not even Shver. Interestingly, I got a saw, the thing is spelled out very clearly in the Mitzvah David, like we'll talk about in a moment, but I saw afterwards at the Brisker Rav in a very, very short, very cryptic piece over here in the Brisker Rav, the Chedushi Agriz and Tomid, the stencil on Tomid, he really says the word. He says, Mamash Bekitzer, that the Ramad the Yad of the Shitasi, what he says in the Perish Mishnayos, and he's saying this word that says in the Mitzvah David. Now, the Ramad in the Perish Mishnayos has a bit of a complex mahalach, which is based upon a particular way of reading together the two Mishnayos, the two relevant Mishnayos, which is the Mishnah by us and the Mishnah in the sixth parak. I'm not going to go into heavy detail right now, but just concisely, the issue that concerned the Rambam, as explained by the Birisker Rav here, actually, is that the way the Rambam was geiris, there's multiple different gersois in the various Mishnayos, the way the Rambam was geiris in the Mishnayos is mavur in our Mishnah, that the five and the two split, between the mate of the nearest in the five, a segment of five and a segment of two. Our Mishnah is saying, like we said over from the Bar Tanura and the Mephoshim, that the split of the five 5 and the 2 is, the 2 is the easternmost, and then the 5 is the westernmost, 5, and that's the most nearest. That's how you split. However, the Rambam's gear is a different gear, so that we actually happen to have printed in our Shas, in Tomei Daf Lamed Gimel, there's a Shas on the Girsu there, as before on the side of the page, different Girsuis, that we have printed in the Shas that actually over there the Mishnah is saying that the split is the opposite, the 5 easternmost nearest and the 2 that are on the west. And Mamash Hastira to our Mishnah, and because of this, says the Brisker Rav, the Rambam was Mamsi Anuma Halach, which I'm going to say just concisely, the Rambam's Derech in explaining the split in the Hatova of the 5 nearest and the 2. The Rambam Shitta, as he actually speaks at Mamash Beferish explicitly in the Perish Mishnah, is that the Neir Marovi, the Chazal she has to always be Tomid, is actually the farthermost near all the way over to the west. Mamish, the westernmost near. This is against the way Rashi learns up the Sugi in Menachos, and against the way the Bartanura and the Meforshim have learned over here by Yos, that the Neir Marovi is actually the second from the east. The Ram argues on all these Meforshim, and he holds the simplistic, simple pshat actually, that the Neir Marovi is the farthest one all the way over to the west. According to the Ram Shitta, the idea that's discussed in our Mishnah about the so-called two easternmost nearest being different from the other five, etc., is not at all based on the idea of the second from the east being the Neir Marovi. Ram does not even hold of that at all. The way the Rambam learns up is as follows. If the Kohen walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he has to split up the nearest, Hatov of the nearest, the cleaning of the nearest into two segments, because like the Gemara learns out, and the Rambam brings it down, Baboike, Baboike, Betivas, and Nearest, to split it up into two different segments. So he has to split it up into two segments. Now, how is he going to split it up? It's like this, the Rambam says. If when you come in, the first Neirois, or the nearest closer to the east, are extinguished, they're out, so then you very split, so you simply start working from the east and work inward, and you do the first five nearest from the eastward going inward, and when you hit the five nearest, you clean the first five nearest, and you have to stop at that point, because the last two are going to have to be cleaned separately in a separate segment, like we said, so you clean the first five nearest, you leave the last two, the ones over to the Meirev, you leave them for later on, if you do a different avoid in the middle, and then you clean the final two. However, says the Rambam, what happens if you come into the Beis HaMikdash and you see that the two nearest to the east are still lit? So you're not going to mechabe those nearest. Rather than extinguishing those nearest, which we'll talk about later about this idea of not extinguishing the nearest if they're on, so rather than extinguishing them, I'm going to flip the five and the two, and I'm going to go over and do the five westernmost nearest being cleaned first, and leave the two nearest that are lit on the east intact. And then, later on, after I mafsik my avoida, then I'll come back, and after the two nearest on the east go out, I'm going to clean those out. So the Shittas HaRambam is a couple of point. First of all, the Rambam holds that the Neir Marovi is all the way off in the far west, and therefore, according to him, when I come in, the intrinsic simple way to clean, to split up the segments of the cleaning of the Menorah, is actually discussed apparently in the Mishnah in Perek Vav, the way the Rambam is going to say over there, that you first clean the first five nearest toward the east, you leave the last two, which includes the Neir Marovi, that should really remain lit because it's the Neir Tamid, and you're hoping it's still lit because it's a Pines, it should be hopefully lit, so you're going to leave that, you clean the first five nearest over to the east. However, what happens if the two nearest on the east are already lit, like it talks about in our Mishnah, the nearest are Doilkin? So that's where I'm going to, in order to avoid having to extinguish a near, in order to clean, I'm going to flip around the five and the two, and that's where I'm going to clean the five westernmost first, and then come back to the first two. And that's not a din, according to the Rambam, in the first two nearest two on the east containing the Neir Marovi and being special. There's nothing special about them, and they don't contain the Neir Marovi, according to the Das HaRambam. And the Meila, according to Dr. Mikdash David, and the Biskurov is a Meramah to this very, very bekitzer, that according to the way the Rambam learns our Mishnah, it mamish does not say at all in our Mishnah that if the Neir Marovi goes out, I'm going to relight it from the Shar Neiris and the Menorah. The Mishnah actually does say that if the two Neiris on the Mizrach go out, I relight them from the Shar Neiris. Now, according to the Rashi and most Meforshim learn, the two Neiris in the Mizrach include the Neir Marovi, because the second from the Mizrach is the Neir Marovi. The second from the east is the Neir Marovi. And since the Mishnah is saying that if those two Neiris are out, I relight them from the other Neiris to the Menorah, that would taka be oiskishbarat. You really do see from our Mishnah, assuming the Neir Marovi is concluded within the first two easternmost Neiris, the Mishnah is in fact mavur that I would try to relight those Neiris from the Shar Neiris of the Menorah. The Mishnah does say that if that includes the Neir Marovi, so then in fact I'll see from the Mishnah that the Neir Marovi could be relit and ought to be relit from the other Neiris of the Menorah. That's how the Ravid learned. However, the Rambam is choiluk on Rashi and the Ravid and all the Meforshim, and the Rambam Shita was anyhow that the Neir Marovi is the Neir that's all the way really far off to the west. And the Meila, this Mishnah doesn't discuss what you do, how you relate the Neir that's far off to the west. It's not much, not even talked about at all. What this Mishnah talks about is something else. It talks about what happens if the two Neiris on the east go out, and those don't even include the Nemar Ravi according to the Dasa Rambam. So the Meila is very good that the Rambam does shtim. Our Mishnah is talking about Neiris that are not the Nemar Ravi and says you relate them for the other Neiris of the Meneira. The Nemar Ravi, though, according to Rambam, is only discussed later on. The relighting of that is discussed later on in the sixth parak, and talks about relighting from the Zbeach, and according to Rambam, that's the only solution, and that's the Rambam Lashitasa, because he holds that the Ne'er Ravi was not the Ne'er discussed in this Mishnah. They was not anywhere near the east, it was at the far west, and there's no discussion and no reflection in our Mishnah that the way to relight the Ne'er Ravi is. That's how the Mikdash Dovid and the Brisker Rav both explained the Rambam Lashitasa. Now, as we mentioned, the Mishnah says that if the Kohen comes in and he sees that the Ne'eris, the two Ne'eris on the easternmost part of the Menorah are out, then he has to be choizer madlik them from the Shar Ne'eris of the Menorah. And the way most Meforshim learn what the Mishnah is saying is, why do I have to relight them? What's important about relighting them? It's already the morning, and the mitzvah of the lighting of the Ne'eris of the Menorah is from evening to morning. So here it's morning, so why do I have to relight? So the way most Meforshim learn, the hesber in them is because those two Ne'eris include the Ne'er Ravi, which is the second from the east. Second, the Ne'er Ravi has a din of Ne'er Tomid, Lahalas Ne'er Tomid, and also the Tamekim of the din Ne'er Tomid, I have to relight, because although it's true that all the other Ne'eris of Menorah are only Erev Ad Boiker, the Ne'er Ravi is not like the rest of the Imamish Tomid Stendiglid at all times, and that's why you have to relight. This Pshat is Mavur in the Chuvas HaRashba, an important Chuvas HaRashba discusses this Sugya, and the Chuvas HaRashba says, Chelak Aleph Smenshin Tes, he says, Ne'er Maravi Mulvad, Zok the Rambam, the Rashba, the Maravi alone, who sheik pida toyerli is toyloch tomid. That's the only ner which is a kapeda 24 hours constantly lilit. Kedachsev lifnei Hashem tomid, and the language of lifnei Hashem tomid. He says the hidber is hanir shel lifnei Hashem yehi tomid. Now lifnei Hashem is the ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is so to speak the mokum that's called lifnei Hashem, the mokum of the shechina, and that ner that's lifnei Hashem that should be tomid, that should be stendig. And he brings in a sefri that speaks this thing out. Lifnei Hashem tomid zok the sefri she yehi ner maravi todir she menu madlik as menu ben habayim. In fact, based on the ner maravi from the ner maravi's light, he madlik the rest the Menorah when it comes to Ben Abayim. So that's a din in Hilchos Tomid. Rashi actually speaks out in the Hemshech of the Tshuva later on. In the Tshuva he says, if that B'Shas, when the Eden was there, when they zocked there, the Ne'er Ravi would actually stay lit. What happens, zocked there, Makom Okim, and Motsu Shakovu? What happens if you came in, the Eden weren't there to a nest that night, and the Ne'er went out? To the Medashna Madlikoi, you have to relight that Ne'er Maravi, the Bo'inon Lifnei Hashem Tomet. So the Rashba makes it very clear that it's a Gzeres HaKosa Lifnei Hashem Tomet, and that Gzeres HaKosa mandates the relighting of the Ne'er. The MS is that this Nekuda is actually Tutsdodim in a Taisvis in Masechta Menachos. The Brisker Rav over here already points this thing out in the Brisker Rav stencil in a short piece, but he says that it seems to be that it's a din of the Rishonim, whether this Lifnei Hashem Tomid, now the Pasuk says clearly Lifnei Hashem Tomid, on the other hand Chazal tell us that the Ne'er Maravi did not get any more oil than the rest of the Menorah, so it's not like going to fulfill this din of Lifnei Hashem Tomid by putting in twice the amount of oil. I'm not allowed to do that. I put the regular amount of oil in, and when the Yidin Azaych HaLakach and Azaych HaTuanes, like during the days of Shimon HaTzadik, so then the Ne'er would continue lighting with Derech Neis throughout the whole time. Now, Zotar Biskirov, so the Lifnei Hashem Tomid would be fulfilled through a Neis. So what happens if there was no Neis? Unfortunately, no Neis. So then you relight it in the morning, like it says in that Mishnah, in our Mishnah. Is that Taka Gzeres HaKosa of the relighting of it? Because the relighting is actually a Chiddush Gadol, given the fact that the Din Hadlaka is really Geventlich, Din to be Madlik is by evening time, it's before evening, at the end of the afternoon, I light. Is there really such a Din to be Madlik, re-Madlik a second time in the morning? And the Biskirov points out in the Peish HaRosh at the end of the Masechta, the Flam the Rosh says that actually Be'etzam Yikra Din, in the days when there was no Nais, you would not have to relight it, and the Din Deraisa would not mandate the relighting. We'll talk in a second that they relit it anyway, we'll see. But Kaponim, it's Shaila Rishonim about this. Now, as we said, the Rashba actually says very clearly that the Gzeres HaKosa of Tomid did mandate the relighting, and it was in the Din Deraisa, this thing that you have in El Misha to relight. However, there is a Shaila, and Tosis in Menachas Daf Peivov actually clearly has two Sodom on in the Rishonim, the two Sodom and Tosis on this thing. Tosfos brings down over there a question. Tosfos says, he brings down that Rashi Shitta, the way Rashi learns up the Sugya, Rashi says that when it came evening time, and like we said, the Chazal tell us that you have to use the flame of the Ne'er Ravi to relight all the other Ne'ers when it came toward the evening, so Rashi Shitta is, I actually lifted out the lit wick the lit wick of the Ne'emar Ravi out, and I use that lit wick to relight the other Neiris B'Shas when I'm holding it and holding it outside of the Menorah, and then I will put it back in. And Tosfos has an interesting question on that. Tosfos Tain is that if that would really be true, then how are you fulfilling the din of Tamid? I mean, Tamid L'Chayr would seem to mean that it has to always be in the Menorah and always lit. What's this thing that Rashi is saying they used to take out the Neir? It says, Shver Zachtok, Tosfos. How do you take it out? You take it out, you know, the Menorah doesn't have a Ne'emar Ravi in the Menorah. That's Tamid. How do you do that? So that's Tosfos Kash on Rashi, and Tosfos says the Shema could be that really the holding Tamid in today's times when there's no Nes after the death of Shemrat Tzadik, and later on it says after long after the death of Shemrat Tzadik near the end of the Tkuf of the Bayis Hasheni, it actually always went out and it never stayed relit. So it never stayed lit. So Tosfos says Shema in the Shpeta de Tkuf in the later times when they did not have the Nes, so it's just a Takonas Chazal, that they're just Mesakein. It's just a Takona to relight the Nair. And Shaloi L'Shanois Mikamoy Shahoya B'Shas HaNes. So Tosfos suggests it's just a takana ba'alma, and really you did not have an intrinsic din of tamid once the neir unfortunately didn't remain lit b'derech neis. It's just a takana chazal to be light, but really be'etzim there is taka no din to light in the morning. I mean, there's no such halacha, you know. There's no din to light in the morning. If it went out, it went out. What could you do? So you weren't zoicha the din of tamid. The neis didn't kick in. You didn't have the din of tamid. And it's just a takana ba'alma in order to make it similar to the way it was at the time of Shimon HaTzadik. And Tosfos seems to nemon that according to that it's not going to be shver. What Rashi understands that they'll take out the Ne'er here to relight the rest. It's not a problem because anyhow there's no Dinderaisa of Tomit. Tosfos does bring down over there, however, that the Rivah didn't learn like Rashi. The Rivah learned that I leave the Ne'er Maravi inside of the lamp, inside of that Ne'er in the Menorah, leave it inside. However, you were madlik in as Hashar Ayde Psilois Aruchois. In other words, I used very long wicks. They were long enough that they could actually catch fire from the Ne'er Maravi, even though Ne'er Maravi was Bimkoy Moya than there. Very curious thing. And according to the way we've all learned, there was actually no need to take out the Ne'emar Ravi from its place in order to light the rest of the Ne'eris. And Tosfos seems to understand that according to the Rival, you really could learn Kipshuta, that then if Tommy was mamish fulfilled, you never ever took out the Ne'emar Ravi out of its Mokheim and was constantly Tommy. So here you really see in Tosfos these two stardom, this Machloikis, this Shiloh, about whether the Din Ne'er Tommy is mamish and Din Derais with Man Hazel, like the Mavur in the Shuvah Harajma, and this Din in our mission, you relight the Ne'eris because I mamish have a Din of Tommy that's Machayim. To be light, or the way Tosfos suggests in the end of Tosfos to explain the Das and Rashi that it actually today is really just the Kona Ba'alma in order to be somewhat similar to the Ikr way of Tamid, which is Shas Shimon HaTzadik. But the only way to fulfill the Ikr din of Tamid of the Torah is only B'derech Neis. I relight, and I will Yidna Rahay Madrega, and remains lit standing, and it doesn't go out, so it remains lit throughout the entire night and actually throughout the entire day as well. Now, the Rashba, in the Tshuva that we mentioned before, uses the din of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that with the Ne'emar Ravi, it had to be relit if you found that it went out. And the Rashba uses this to frag up, to refute the Shadas HaRambam. The Rambam has a very, very mechudosh day that Blinley will speak of more later, in the later Perek. And the Rambam's shita is that the menorah was actually lit twice every day. It was lit in the morning, and it was lit in the night. You light it every single night, enough shemen that it should stay lit till morning, and then you mamash relight in the morning a second time, and that would stay lit until the evening. And the Rambam's day, as he speaks at in the Yad, is that when Chazal speak of being mative, the Neiris, in the morning, the included in the Hatovah is the preparation and the relighting. So the Rambam holds that the most meforshim on Hatovah is simply to appear the Neiris, to appear to ready them for the Hadlaka, and then the Hadlaka takes place before evening, later on the end of the afternoon. The Rambam, however, holds that the Hatovah of the morning itself included the preparing it and the relighting, and the Rambam holds that the menorah was lit twice a day. We're not going to go too much into this shita right now. The meforshim say that the Rambam got this from a particular way of reading up the sugya in Masechta Menachos. Those points are not relevant right this second. But what the Rashba Tain is that the Rambam could be refuted simply from the fact that how could the Rambam hold that there's a din to relight all the Neiris in the morning? But Ma'isa, it seems from the Mishnah that it's a miyuchad adik, a unique halacha, that's a din in the Neir Tomid. The Neir Tomid specifically has to be relit in the morning. It does not appear a din in all the Neiris. Now, leaving the details of this question out, I just want to get into two basic nekudos that you find. The Brisker Rav explains each of these nekudos in different mekoymas where he talks about it, different nekudos about the Neir Maravi as explained by the Brisker Rav. We're just going to talk in general terms for now. We can leave the specific details, Shitas HaRambam, perhaps for another time. The Brisker Rav has a basic question in the Brisker Rav stencil over here, Masechta Tomid, and he asks that, what Bechlal is unique about the name of Rav according to Rambam at all? I mean, given the fact that according to Rambam, all the Neris really are lit from evening to morning, and then from morning to evening, and they have to always be lit, L'maiser. So what's special about the name of Rav Bechlal? The name of Rav is called the Neir Tomid. Now, you do have clearly in the Sifri that the Sifri refers to a Lahalas Neir Tomid, that it's the name of Ravi that should be always be Tomid. It's very clearly that the name of Ravi has a unique halacha of Tomid, but what is so special about it that the Maisa, all the other Neirs have to always be lit as well? And the Skirov has on this very brief teretz, the Lashonis here are quite cryptic, but what appears from the Biskirov, the way he explains it, is that the other Neirs are lit at night, and it's supposed to last till morning, but the mice, and then they go out, and then you relight them again in the morning, and then they go out, and you relight it again the next, before the evening, etc. So there's a process by which they go out, and they're relighted, etc., etc. However, the Ner Maravi, though, has a din that it's really supposed to be Tumid, which the Etzem Ikruway to fulfill, that's what the Briskerov is to say, that it should not go out. In other words, Tumid means that it shouldn't go out. It should be Mamish Tumid. And the Briskerov says that when Chazal speak of this Nes, Chazal say that there was a Nes, that Peshas Shem HaTzadik, or even after him, when the Yidin Mohan Ohai Madrega, that the Nimer Ravi always remained lit and didn't go out. That's not Stamazoy a Nes Ba'alma, but rather that Nes, it actually incorporated the Iker Oifen of fulfillment of the mitzvah. Because since the Nes is supposed to be Tumid, it really shouldn't be out. So if it shouldn't go out, how do you have that it shouldn't go out at all? That the way to do that, in other words, was Dafka to incorporate the Nes of fulfillment of the mitzvah, you would light it. You were not allowed to light and put an extra Shemin, as apparently was not permitted. But if the Nes was built into it, and you know, Hamadrega, they had the Nes, so the Nes remained Tumid, and as that fits even according to Rambam, in other words. The other Nes, they have a din Erev Ad Boiker, and then they go out, and then you have Boiker to Erev and Erev to Boiker. Mashenkin, the near Merovi was supposed to be Mamish Tomid and not go out, which there has to be Viderech Neis, and that was a unique halacha that we find out there in the near Merovi. Another important deher on the name of Ravi can be found in the Chiddushim of the Brisker Rav in Masechet Menachos. Now, Chazal say in Masechet Menachos that the seven neiros of the menorah are ma'akvin ze'ezem. That's what it says. The seven neiros are ma'akvin ze'ezem. There's shaila exactly in the Achrinim what this means. But the Beis Halevi in the Kunjas on Chanukah actually says black on white that this expression, seven neiros ma'akvin ze'ezem, it means mamish kipshuta, which is to say that the lighting of all seven neiros is ma'akvin. And let's say, for example, for some reason, I only lit five or six of them and not all seven, you didn't get a mitzvah. The mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah is dafka the seven, or it's not as kaim at all. There's no halves, there's no fractions. Shiva neiros of the menorah, in other words, the being lit, says the Beis Halevi, on ma'akvin ze'ezeh. The Brisker Rav asked the kash on this. He says that if that is so, how are you bechlal able to understand the musig that the Nemerovi as a unique thing, Chazal speak of it as special drosha in the Sifri, as lahalois near Tomid, that the Nemerovi specifically has to be Tomid. And according to the Pashas of our Mishnah, of course, and the Rashba speaks it out, is that if you see in the morning that it's out, you have to relight, because the Nemerovi is not allowed to be out, it has to be Tomid. How could this be, says the Brisker Rav, it doesn't stem with the musig of the seven areas in Ma'akovich Odech. I mean, in the morning over here, according to the Pashas, the way most learn, I'm not relighting all the Neiris, I'm just relating the Neir Maravi, or like the other one with it, like we said, because we want that the Neir Maravi shouldn't be the Neir Maravi shouldn't be the only one lit, because then it's the Eastermost. So I like the one that's Eastermost, even more East than it, that this Neir is the Neir Maravi. But upon him, that's the din of the Neir Maravi to be relit. L'chair, I'm lighting one Neir, or lighting two Neiris, whatever it is, and b'chlal not fulfilling the din of Hadlokas HaMenorah in any event, because Hadlokas HaMenorah, the seven Neiris are ma'akman each other. So where b'chlal is the kiyum in the mitzvah of Neir Maravi when I relight, if l'mais I'm not getting in the any mitzvah of menorah because they're ma'ak of each other. Now this the Brisker Rav stells avek an important yisoid. Brisker Rav says that the name of Ravi is different because it has a mitzvah salochem yuchedes. In other words, the Brisker Rav explains, and with this he's miyashev these halachos. He says that there's actually tzveibos under the dinim, so to speak, a dichotomy, two different halachos in the lighting of the menorah. There's a mitzvah klolus in the lighting of the seven areas of the menorah. There's also a specific mitzvah in the lighting of the name of Ravi. And if I light the name of Ravi, even if I rather have not at all fulfilled the cloliest, the collective general din of the lighting of the menorah, because they don't have all seven. Afal pikein, there's a miyuchad adikad din, the lighting of the nemerovi, which is an independent halacha, and that halacha could be miskayim bifnei atzmai. The Brisker Rav brings a raya to this concept from the Sifra in Parshas Emor, the Torah's Kohen in Parshas Emor, where you have a discussion about lahalos neir tomid. That's where the actual pasuk is in Parshas Emor. It speaks about the menorah, lahalos neir tomid, and the Sifra in Parshas Emor, in the Torah's Kohen over there, says that that's referring to the nemerovi, that the Nehemah Ravi has to be Doilek Todir, says the Teres Kainim, always lit, Shetehe Nehemah Ravi Doilek Todir, Mimena Yehi Maschil, Boy Yehi Messiahim, you start with the Nehemah Ravi, etc., etc., and you finish with it, and you relight the other areas of the Nehemah Ravi when it comes toward the evening. So that's the Nehemah Ravi, and then it goes on a little bit in the Hemshech of the Teres Kainim over there, and it says that the word Tomid is Tomid Af B'Shabbos, Tomid Af B'Tumah, which is to say that you always light it, you light it even on Shabbos, it overrides Tumah, etc. So that's one piece of the Sifra. A little bit later in the Sifra, I'm mentioning the same Piska, in the same Parashah, so rather, of the Sifra, a little bit later it discusses the lighting of the seven areas to the Menorah, and it talks about Yarech Ois to Aron Ubonov, and it says that it talks about the lighting of the Shiva Neirois, etc., etc., and then it says Me'erev Ad Boiker, so it says Ten Lehem Idosam, that these Neirs have to have the correct measure, Doilkam Me'erev Ad Boiker, right, the exact amount that they remain lit, the amount that gets them to remain lit from evening until morning, etc. And then it says, Tomad after Shabbos, Tomad after Tomad. That's how the Teres Kainim concludes the shtickle, the piska over there, that this is a mitzvah that applies constantly every day of the week, including Shabbos, and it even overrides Tumah. If Frekter Biskir Rov, what's the point of having this din of Tomad after Shabbos, Tomad after Tumah? Exact same halachas, mentioned almost twice in the same parish in the Sifra. Same halachas, same din, same lashonis in the Sifra. It's saying, Tomad, the din of Tomad, you have to light always, even on Shabbos and even on Tumah. What does it say twice? Is that the Biskir Rov, the way that I'm learning, it's actually very, very move on. Because the earliest tikkul teres kainim, the whole context over there is mavur that it's talking about the neir tamid. That's the talmud. How is neir tamid? That's the name of Ravi, doilek todir, etc., etc. And on that, the sifra concludes on the name of Ravi, the tamid after Shabbos, tamid after tumah. Then later on, the next sifra is actually talking about all the seven neirs collectively, and it discusses dinim that in a get to the collective lighting of the menorah, with all seven of the neirs lit collectively. And that was saying independently of the earlier din, a separate new halacha, tamid after Shabbos, Tomad after Tumah. And this is, Zot Biskir Rov, a clear-cut demonstration of the point that I'm making, Zot there, that there's two independent halachas. And therefore, I need to have separately mudim and separate halachas mentioned. I have the din that it overrides even Shabbos and even Tumah is independently mentioned, an independent halacha. One is the din of the sevenfold lighting of the seven areas of the Menorah. The other, the independent halacha of the Halas Neir Tomid, that too is an independent din, that's Doicha Shabbos and it's Doicha Tumah. Now, we mentioned before that the Mishnah says regarding the two easternmost neiros, which according to the way most learn, Rashi and the others learn, that includes the Nehemah Ravi. So if you come in the morning and you find that they're still lit, you don't put them out, like that we discussed. What about the remaining five neiros of the menorah, when it comes to clean those? Are you going to put those out if they are still lit? Now, they're lit in the morning, according to most Rishonim, except for the Rambam, there's no Shum Halacha to be lit during the day, right? So L'chaira, you might as well put them out. There's any problem putting those out. So Grada, the Ravid over here, Taka speaks out that those five neiros, if you find that they're still lit, you mechaba oisan, then you medashnon, enachanami, you extinguish them, no reason not to, and you clean them out. However, this din is actually a big machlokes Rishonim, and there's an important shtickle on this machlokes Rishonim in the Biskir Rov on Rambam, Grada, Nechasmidim, Musafim, but he takes note of the following. He says that actually the Tshuva HaRashba in the Tshuva that we mentioned before has a girsa in the Sifri that completely negates this concept of extinguishing the neiros that are lit, any neiros that are lit, and even though the Chayra, as far as we could tell, simple logic would mandate that there's no shum reason not to extinguish them. It's daytime and there's no mitzvah adlaka during the day, according to almost all Rishayim, so why can't you extinguish them? And yet Afa Pikein is still mavur in the Sifri, and Sifri says that's the girsa in the Sifri, the way the Rashba is girsa in it, in the beginning of Baal Loischa, it says, Me'erev Ad Boiker. So it's stuff like this. The Sifri says, Me'erev Ad Boiker, L'chayr means, Kipshutoy, from evening till morning, and then after that, there's no mitzvah of being madlik at all, you know, and there's no mitzvah of being doluk at all. So the Sifri says, Me'erev Ad Boiker, Yochol, Yechabim, that these are the key words of the Sifri, that some are not girsa them at all. And Grada, our girsa in the Sifri, as we'll see a little later, doesn't have these words. But the Rashba explicitly had these words in the Sifri. Me'erev Ad Boiker, Yochol, and let me extinguish them when it gets to morning, which is simple logic, you know. It's still no longer mitzvah to be tolok, so extinguish them. Talmud loymer yo iru shivas haneiros, which the way the Rashba is garrison is a free, is mavur, a special halacha, that even though there's no mitzvah to be madlik in the morning, but there's a mitzvah to remain dolok as long as it's still lit from the previous evening. It has to remain dolok. And you are not allowed to extinguish them. It's a special new halacha, yocho yechabim, talmud loymer yo iru shivas haneiros. Now, zoktav tem de Brisker Rov, as follow. According to the Rashba, who brings down the Sifri, how did the Rambam understand this then, that you're not mechaber the neiros that were still lit when it comes to the morning? So at the Biskir Rov, the Rashba understood it very simply. There's evening and there's morning. When it comes to the evening, it's not just a question of not putting it out. When it comes to the evening, I'm not going to be lighting all the menorahs of the menorah. Forget about being if they're on or not. They're all off, and I'm actually actively lighting them. However, when it comes to the morning, I don't light the menorahs of the menorah the way the Rashba and most Rishonim learn. There's no din to light in the morning. So I mail in the morning, there's no shum halacha to light. So I would think I could extinguish the menorahs in the morning. Kamashmal, on the ones that are still lit, I have to continue to keep them going, and I can't actively extinguish them in the morning. So there's a difference between the morning and the evening. In other words, according to the Rashba, when it comes to evening, I'm lighting the menorahs of the menorah. When it comes to morning, I'm not lighting, but afal pi kein, I'm not able to mechaber the ones that are still going. However, Dr. Biskirov, and he understands that we need to explain this sifra, even according to the Derech HaRambam, and Dr. Biskirov, the Derech HaRambam, as he mentioned before, is that you used to light the menorah twice each day, twice every 24-hour period. You light the menorahs of the menorah in the morning, and they went till late afternoon. And you light the menorahs again shortly before evening, and it went till the morning. So according to the Rambam, there really is no conceptual difference between the morning and the evening. Both times, I have a mitzvah of hadlaka. So what exactly is this all about when it says in the Sifri, Yochol Yechabim Talmud Loim Ariyu Shiva Saneris? I would think you extinguish them, Kamashmal, I don't extinguish them. What exactly is the Havamina, and what's the Maskona? According to the Rambam, we have to realize that we're dealing with a situation which, in any event, regardless of whether you hold it the Havamin or the Maskana, the halacha of the Neiris HaMenorah kind of is that you must light it in the morning and you light it in the evening. Has it been to light in the morning or light in the evening? Having said that, if there's been to madlik in the morning, madlik in the evening, what is the shaila whether I need to mechaber them or I don't need to mechaber them? It's Dr. Biskirov Azoy, and he says the Rambam is going to learn a very big yisoid into this Sifri. The fundamental question, the way the Rambam is going to learn in this Sifri, is if I see that these Neiris are still lit and they're still going strong, and I don't have to light them. Why do I have to extinguish them and relight? I can just go ahead and let them remain lit. And this is the fundamental question of the Sifri. Do I need to make a new Maisa Hadlaka every time in the morning or every time in the evening? There's no Shum Chilak morning and evening in the Das HaRambam, Dr. Biskirov. The fundamental question is, do I need to make a specific Maisa Hadlaka in the morning and in the evening, or is it sufficient that I know that anyhow it's continuing to burn without a special Maisa Hadlaka? So the Havamina of the Sifri, Zokter, was that you have to make a Maisa Maisad lock in the morning, every morning, Maisad lock in the evening, every evening, and if it's still going on, that's insufficient to Mekayim Yodin because he didn't do the special Maisa for the morning. And Mela, that's why you're going to have to Dafka extinguish it and have another Sifri and Dafka relight. Of them, look, the Sifri, a new Chiddush, no, Tamalama Yairu, Shevas, and Eris, is no Shum Din to Mechaber them. What's the Hedbrin in them, Dr. Biskirov? So the Biskirov says that this Sifri, according to the way that we're learning it in the Das HaRambam, is going to Mechadish the Bavusti Yasoid of Reb Chaim Brisker, that the Biskirov's father, Reb Chaim Shtel the a big yisoid in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, the Chaim is mechadesh that the din of being madlik the neiris of the menorah is not a din of ma'isa hadlaka, but a din in rendering them into a circumstance of matzav which they are dolok. And that's the big sheet of the Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim holds that although it's true that you got to light the neiris of the menorah, but that's not because the ma'isa itself is significant. It's not like a ma'isa of Zrika or a ma'isa kmitzel, you know, one of the ma'isa avoiders. The ma'isa of hadlaka is not a significant act according to the Das HaRambam. It's just by dint of this. Maisa, I end up with a matzav in which it is dolok, in which the lights of the menorah are on. The actual pu'ula, the activity that brings it about, is an unimportant activity according to Reb Chaim. And so to Biskirov, that's exactly what the Sifri is coming to the Chadash over here. I would have thought I have to extinguish the menorah in order to relight, because the maisa of hadlaka is a necessity every single time it comes the morning or it comes the evening. Of them, the Sifri, no, it's actually not important. Your iru shevas aniris, the main thing is that they should be burning. They should be in a circumstance sense of being dolok. It's actually unimportant whether I do a specific act of pa'ula of hadlako to bring that about or not. If they are dolok, I could just keep on continuing them, have been dolok without him bothering to put them out. Because the Sifri is telling you, the Chiddush Din of Reb Chaim Brisker, that the act of lighting is not the important act, it's simply the fact that durch them, durch the fact I lit, it is dolok. So therefore, if it's going, I just continue to allow it to remain going. The Biskirov adds to this a nuanced, a dakistic, a subtle nakuda. The Biskirov said, L'chor, you could ask on this akasha. We know from different Gemaras that there's a mitzvah of Dishon and a mitzvah of Hatova. Dishon is the cleaning out the ashes of the menorah, and Hatova is putting in, preparing the oil, preparing the wick for the next day. The Rambam actually speaks of this, these two pu'ulois, in Hosnim the Musaf and Perek Gimel. The Rambam says, Dishon ha-menorah, ve-hatova ha-neiroi, so those are the two acts we're speaking of. One is cleaning out the ashes of the menorah, and the other is preparing the neiris. They are, it says the Rambam, mitzvahs asei, shenema, yaroich oise arnubana. So we have the concept of setting it up, a Yarechoyis Aron Abonav, and this mitzvah of Yarechoyis contains these two activities, Dishun, which is clearing out the old ash, and Hatova, which is the act of appearing the wick and the oil for the future. Of them, Zot the Briskerov, L'choyra Zokter, if you really have a circumstance with the way we explained the Rambam, the way we explained the Rambam will learn the Sefri, based on a Chaim Brisker, so you have a situation which continues to be lit, and for whatever situation, it's mamish is being lit, and it goes on, and there's no shum chiyuv to extinguish it and to relight. Okay, Zokter, that's fine as far as the Din Hadlok is concerned, because we explained based on the Chaim, you do not have to do independent action of a Hadlokah. But what about the fact that I'm missing out on my Dishon because I'm not clearing out the Menorah at all? Isn't there a Din of Dishon? What about the Din of Yaroi Choisoi? The Rambam is going to post it over here. Yaroi Choisoi, Aron Ubonov. You have to do the clearing out. You're not clearing anything out over here. You're negating and you're ignoring this mitzvah of Dishon. So the Briskerov says the interesting thing. He says like this, is Dishon Zokter and is Hatova. As far as the Dishon goes, and here's where the Briskerov tells it, because you saw it, in order for Dishon to be applicable, you have to have Deshen. You have to have ash. You have to have burnt out bits in the Menorah. And once they're burnt out and there's a Shem Deshen on it, Dishon is the verb form of Deshen. I remove the Deshen from the Nair and it's in the midst of Dishon. But I have to have Deshen. So he says, if the Nair went out and what I have is burnt out wick, or I have ashes over there, there's a Shem Deshen on that, and once there is Deshen, there's a circumstance in which you have Deshen, the mitzvah of Deshen is Chal, and the mitzvah is Chal that you have to remove the Deshen. Now, Shemkin, if it's still lit, the din of Deshen isn't even Chal, Zokter, because I don't have any Deshen. It's just a lit bar, beautiful lit, it's a lit wick, it has a beautiful flame on it with oil, and there's no Deshen. So there's no ash, there's no burnt that wick over there, so with no Deshen, there's no mitzvah of Deshen, that's Chal. I Hatova, Zokter, there is definitely a mitzvah of Hatova, no problem, so you'll add oil and you fix it up a little bit, and that's going to be a mitzvah tova. But as far as the deshen is, that you can do when it's lit, a tova. But as far as removing, the removal of the old, that's actually, it's not be a general din of removing the old, it's a din of removing the deshen. And to be called deshen, to get the shem deshen on it, it has to be ash, it has to be burnt out. In this particular case, it's not burnt out. Just to be mashlim this subject, I mentioned before, not everyone agrees that there is actually an isur to extinguish the other neiros or the menorahs. They're still lit in the morning, and isur to extinguish. The Rashba, as we said, learns it out of the Sefri. He had a Sefri that says that whatever neir is burning has to remain continue to burn. However, the Ravid over here and Rashi Menachas also holds this way. The Arishayim that hold that if I come in the morning by the Shar neir, it's not the neir Maravi, the other five neiros, and I see that they're still lit, I simply extinguish them and clean them out. Now, how could you extinguish them? I mean, doesn't the Sefri say Befeirush Yochol Yechabeim Tamad Loimar Yoiru, etc.? So the way the Rashi brings down the Sefri, it seems to be clear that there's actual aveir in Mimachabe. Even at daytime, and according to most Rishonim, it's not the Zman Hadlaka. Avol Bikein, you can't extinguish; you have to let it remain lit. It's brought down in the name of the Brisker Rav that this Machlekes Rishonim, the Shaila Rishonim, if I extinguish the nearest that are still lit in the morning, is actually totally in the Girsois in the Sefri. And that's really a fact that there's two Girsois in the Sefri. There's the Girs that the Rashi had, and the Girs that actually found that we have, according to the Girs of the Gra. According to actually the standard Malbuchum, which is corrected a little bit based on the Goin, the Girsas Hagro, the Girs of the Goin in the Sefri does not have the words Yochel Yechabeim. And according to the Girs of the Goin in the Sefri, it simply says Me'erev HaBoiker, that all the Neiros of the Neiro are burning from evening to morning. Me'erev HaBoiker, Yochel Kulam. Instead of saying Yochel Yechabeim, the correct Girs according to the Goin and others is Yochel Kulam. Not Yechabeim, but Kulam. The word Kulam means maybe it's true about every single one of all seven of the Neiros of the Neiro that they're only Erev HaBoiker and nothing more. Them zok the Sefri Tamad Loimar near Tomid, which that goes on the name of Ravi. You know, the way that the Girsas Hagro in the Sefri goes, it's not discussing extinguishing at all. Nothing to do with that. It's talking about the question of whether there's any near in the Menorah that's supposed to be 24 hours lit, not just 12 hours evening to morning, but 24. Ayocha Kula, maybe they're all there of a boyker, including the name of Ravi. Tamad Loimar Lahalas near Tomid, that goes on the name of Ravi, a special unique near the name of Ravi that's supposed to be little 24 hours. According to the Gra, the Brisker Rav is supposed to have pointed this out. There's no discussion whatsoever in our Girsas HaSifri, the way the Rashba is Girsas. You don't have any discussion the way we have it, that the Yochel Yechabim, etc. And Taka, you go with the Poshet Asforachid Sainu, which is to say that by the other Neiros, you come in the morning and they're still lit, it's a meaningless thing. It's already after the morning and there's no more mitzvahs adlok at all. And a Meila, it's perfectly mutter Mechabe them to extinguish them, and that's Taka how Rashi learns Menachos, and that's how the Rashba says by us. At the end of the parak, the Mishnah brings down the even hoisa lifnei hamenoira ubo shalosh mailois shelah koy hein oimed umeitav esaneir. So there's a special big stone that's situated right in front of the menoira, which has three steps that are cut into it, and the koyin would stand on this kind of a step. A step stool, so to speak, a step stone that he would stand on there for the purpose of making himself a little higher up, that he should be able to properly clean out the menorah, mate of us the nearest. Others bring down that Mavur and the Gemara that they use kindly to stand on there to madlik the nearest as well. This is all in order to be able to the proper height. Now, the Midrash David in Simon Chof Aleph Esakash on this Mishnah, Midrash David says that he says it seems to be very meduyuk to him from the Loshna Mishnah that this effing was not built into the Rizpah. In other words, it wasn't built into the floor. It wasn't a chelik of the floor. It wasn't part of the karka. It was an independent metaltalin type effing, just a portable stone they would put down over there. It had the three stones, steps, and they would stand on it. And based on that question, the Midrash David asks that L'choyer Zok there, why isn't there a problem of Chatzitza? Because the halacha is, it says in Zvachim Daf Chof Dalin, that if a kohen is doing a void, let's say he's standing outside in the Azor doing a void, and he's on top of a stone which is disconnected from the ground, is a voidosa psul, and more than to have a pasuk over there, they have to be standing directly on the karak of the Azor. There cannot be any dover achoitzeitz, any interposition, anything being choitzeitz between your foot and the karak of the Azor. And why is it any different, the Mikdash David, why is it different over here? You're standing on this stone in the base of Mikdash, and you're cleaning out the menorah, and there's an interposition. The stone is choitzeitz between your foot and your feet and the azorah. Why isn't there a problem of chatzitza, just like you have by avoid? So Zokte Be'etzem, you could answer this question simply by saying that there is a sefri in the beginning of Baloyischa that actually learns this din of this stone out of a posik. The Mamash has a posik for it. Baloyischa sa neirois, so, which is an interesting drasha. Baloyischa neirois pashtus means that you make sure that the neir ascends. Rashi says in the Chumash, they shall heves oilu me'eloho, to make sure that the flame ascends properly. But the way that the sefri says over there, Baloyischa sa neirois means, assume my lois from the menorah. In other words, the word ba'lois means to have steps leading up to the menorah to be able to properly stand on those steps. So, according to that, the Mikdash David suggests it might actually be Xeris HaKosev. In other words, maybe that's the free of Mamash Drosha Gemura, Xeris HaKosev. And if so, the Torah itself is telling you that you could stand on the stone. It's not, obviously, it won't be a problem that there's not a direct connection to the floor, because the Torah itself is speaking of the stone and telling you that you stand on the stone. Okay, so that's one way to learn Zokta, but he says the fact is that the Rambam doesn't learn that way over here. I would just add that the Rambam maybe held it as a free of Bechlal and Asma and not a little drosha, but the Rambam's bevur in the Perish Mishnayos over here that the reason for the stone is simply because the menorah was govoya kakoimas ish. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The voya was 18 tfochim high, which is the standard height of a person, so it's actually quite difficult to reach up and to properly reach into the menorah, clean it out, etc. So because of that, we had a stone to lift up to help the height of the person. The Rambam just makes it into a pragmatic thing. It's apparently not a din and a gveras akosiv. According to that, we're back to the question, why isn't there a chatzitza? So the Midrash David says, and maybe you could say a Torah like this. He says that there is a Tosis in Yuma Nun Tes that I actually quoted the other day. The Tosis says that the Dishah Mizbeach HaPnimi, when you're cleaning out the inside Mizbeach from the ashes on the inside Mizbeach, there's no need for Big Dei Kohuna. Because it's just an act of clearing away. It is not of the Chashivas of an Avoida, and no need for a Big Dei Kohuna. It's just clearing out. That's all you're doing. And the beings of Mishnah Melech extends what it says in that Tosis about the Mizbeach HaPnimi, cleaning the Mizbeach HaPnimi, doesn't need Big Dei Kohuna. Mishnah Melech extends that as well. To the dish and the menorah, the cleaning of the menorah as well, the Mishnah Melech says does not need to have any big day kohana. If that's the case, Zokti, Mikdash David, it doesn't need big day kohana, so it doesn't need the proti dinim of avoid, and if that's the case, there'll be no problem of chatzitza either. You know, the cleaning out of the menorah won't need to have chatzitza, and he understands, in other words, that the purpose of the stone was just for cleaning out the menorah, apparently. Cleaning menorah doesn't have a din of big day kohana, according to Mishnah Melech, and likewise will not have a din of interposition between your foot and the karka, because these are halachas of avoidos, which require big day kohana. Avir, it doesn't have the chshivas of avoida and does not even acquire any big dekona at all. That's the Mikdash David suggested teretz. In the Shmuas Chaim, the Ha'oras on the bottom of the page from a Heintige Big Talmud Chacham, the Shmuas Chaim, he writes over there that although that could be a good teretz according to the Mishnah Melech, it's actually shver to make it work out because the Brisker Rav has a very important Ha'ora on the Mishnah Melech. Brisker Rav understood that you can't learn the Mishnah Melech kapshutai, or at any rate, at the very least, it would have to be noita from the Mishnah Melech because the Brisker Rav says that really, there's a very fundamental distinction between clearing out the ashes from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and clearing out the ashes from the menorah. The difference is, Zokta, that in the case of Mizbeach HaPnimi, it's a purely negative action. I'm clearing it away. It has an obstruction. There's lots of ashes there. So I clear it out. You clear it out. Masha'in Kain, Zokta Biskirov, when it comes to the clearing out the ashes from the menorah is actually a two-step. It's a two different elements, two components to that. Number one is the negative act of clearing it out. But number two, Zot the Briskerov, is also the positive act that you're preparing the menorah, which is a special concept in the Torah, behitivoy asaneirois. That's the preparation of the menorah for the future. You're not just doing a negative thing, getting rid of what shouldn't be there. You're actively preparing it for the future. And Grada the Briskerov says that there's a Rambam that actually speaks out in the Yad HaZokah that if you have a Zor that was made to the Neiris, he gets Malkus. Apparently, it has a Sheva Void on it. A Zor would get Malkus just for cleaning out the Neiris of the Neiris. That act is going to be Malkus, the Rambam says. So there's a din of Zoros on that. It seems that the Brisker of Tain, that if a Zor can't do it, then a Koyan can't do it, I'll be the Koyan either. I mean, the Gemara is Mavur and Zvachim in different places that Man Shabik Deim Aleim, Koyan Osam Aleim, right? The only way a Koyan is going to have the special Kohanic status, the Sheva Void, is by wearing the garments of the Koyan. So Briskerov says it's actually very schwer to learn this Mishmalach Kapshutoi, and even though sometimes Mishmalach is Mashmalach Kapshutoi, Briskerov insists that this cannot be. And there's no question, he says, that Alts the Din of the forward looking act, the act of Hatova, of preparing the Menorah for the future, when you clean out the ash, which is not just a negative clearing it away, but being mative in a positive manner, fixing the Mesakim for the future, and that will definitely require a big Dekuna. And if that's true, what the Briskerov says, Zokti Shmuel Chaim, you're going to lose the whole Peretz in the Mikdash David, because if then there actually is a big chashivas in the act of clearing the menorah. It's not similar to the Be'ech HaPnimi. It's going to have it in the big dekuna coin to the Briskerov. And likewise, it ought to have dini chatzitza, just like you have chatzitza in the Avoid and the Azor, you should have chatzitza in the Beis HaMikdash. We're back with the question, why isn't the stone a chatzitza? It's up there. But it may be possible to answer this question with an interesting teretz like this. The Be'emes Toysus asks on the Sugya in Yuma that if there's a loose stone in the Azor and you're standing on the loose stone, it's a chatzitza, and you're not standing on the floor and the Avoid is no good. The Toysus asks, why don't we apply the klal of min b'minoi in the choytzeitz. Min b'minoi to have the stone floor of the Azorah, and you have the loose stone that's on the stone floor of the Azorah. It's min b'minoi. It's like, and if a min b'minoi is not a chatzitza, between the stone wouldn't comprise a chatzitza between your feet and the stone floor. Min b'minoi in the choytzeitz. The Taisus says, you don't apply it over here because people mind very much having a stone on the floor of the Azorah because it trips them up, it causes them to trip and fall. So people are mind so much and the makbet so much on it that it automatically has a din of chatzitza even though it's min b'minoi. That's what Taisa says, because you mind it because you could trip and fall. It's Zok the Mikdash David, you could argue that that svara cannot possibly apply to the evan that's fixed in place in front of the menorah with the three milers, because that's mamash kavua b'makoymo, its location is there, it belongs there, it's there constantly all the time, a whole year long. And in Meila, everybody knows it's there, nobody's going to trip and fall on it. It's actually there to facilitate the walking and the getting to the menorah, the access. So there's no paid on it at all. People don't mind it being there. And in Meila, we could argue that therefore the floor of the Beis HaMikdash is stone, and the stone, the loose stone, the Evan, this with the steps in it, on the stone floor is not a chatzitzah, just like Taisa suggested, because over here I don't have the svara, and people are makbid and mind being there. An interesting chap of the Shmuel Chaim. I just want to conclude with a very quick word. The Maharal Diskan of Chumash and the Maharal Diskan of Torah, in the beginning of Baloischa, it brings down the Vayas Kein Aaron, and it says that the mitzvah of the Menorah, Baloischa Saneris, etc. Vayas Kein Aaron, Rashi brings down, Malamish Vocha Shal Aaron Shaloshino. That's a special Shevach of Aaron that he didn't deviate from the way it was commanded. So Maharal Diskan, as well known, he asked that what was the Chiddush Aaron wasn't Mashana, what was Aaron supposed to do already? I mean, of course, that's the big Shevach of Aaron, that's the way you praise Aaron. He didn't make any deviations. Of course he didn't deviate. What's the big deal? The Maharal Diskan says that Be'emes, there was this stone with the three milers in front of the menorah, and the Kohen would step on it, and that way he would be tall enough to be able to get in there and be able to clean it and light properly. But he sucked there. Aaron HaKohen, he says, was very tall, just like Moshe, and Chazal say Moshe was 10 Amis, so Aaron was tall as well. And he says, brings then also that Chazal say that when the Shemen HaMishcha was Mesheach, it actually caused the person to be taller as well. So Me'ela Zok, that Aaron was very tall. He was so tall, he had absolutely no need for the three steps, the even with the three milers. That means that even though he had no shum need for it, Afalpikain, since that was a standard normative practice, was to light the nearest with the standing on the Evan, so Aaron stood on the Evan as well, even though he had no shum need for it. That's how the Meryl Diskin learns Shvocha Shalan Shloishina. I saw in the Derech Sicha the questions they asked of Chaim Konyevsky, so somebody said over this vort over there, and he asked of Chaim, is it taka true that a tall coin has no chiv to stand on this Evan? Is that taka emes? You know, because that's what seems to come out of Diskin, that if you're tall, you don't have to do it. But Aaron wanted to not deviate from the normative mahalach of the activity anyway. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky answered very briefly that absolutely, there's taka no such chiyuv whatsoever. If you're tall, there really would be no din to stand dafka on the stone. And Aaron was potter. But Afal Pikini didn't want to change from the regular Kohenim. Now, just to bring that into what we're discussing, Gechmein, you know, the Mikdash Tovitz said that you have the Sifri, the Pashas of the Sifri, and then you have the Perish of Mishnayos. According to the Perish of Mishnayos, the entire purpose of the seven was not exactly a kosev at all. It was just a Hechatimtsa Bialmo, means Bialmo, by which you would get access to the top of the Menorah. So according to that, it's a move in Me'elov that if you're tall, you have no shum need for the Evan. Of course, there's no din to go on the Evan. The only Chiddush in this is really if you learn the Sifri, Kipshutoi, like the Mikdash Tovitz first said, that there's exactly a kosev to have the Evan over there, then you really could theoretically argue that Bahalois Chasaneiris, that you should go up the steps, that the steps of the Evan which has steps on it. So you could have suggested, conjectured perhaps, that if the Sifri is Kipshuta, maybe there's a Dafka Din to Dafka send those steps to get access to the Menorah. So on that, and Bemis, even if you do learn like that for Steitzach and Chaim Kanievsky, and Mirel Diskin could well be right, that the Din of the, that's to gain access, if you need the gaining of the access, because you're short. Mashing and a person that's tall and has no Shem need to gain the access in this manner by standing on the steps, he doesn't have any chiyuv to stand on the Evan with the three milas.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.